Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Podcast Health. That's where you should get all your health podcasts, or RadioMD.com, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, this is 1278B. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Roizen, coming to you from the Cleveland Clinic. We have some great guests today because they combine two of the subjects that we've often talked about. One is the, of course, sleep, and the other is dementia. And they talk about the mechanism relating to inflammation. Our guests are David Ernest, E-A-R-N-E-S-T, a great neuroscientist at Texas A&M, and a partner neuroscientist, Dr. Clarianne D'Souza, and the lab to find out more information, or the website to find out more information, clarianne.d'souza.com. Tell me how you mention in the notes that I received that genetics is only 3% of Alzheimer's risk. We're often thought about the APOE3/4/2 axis, which increases Alzheimer's risk if you get in 4 and decreases cardiovascular disease. Is that really that small a risk factor?
Thank you so much for having us here today. And yes, it is actually really complicated, but the risk factor in terms of genetic Alzheimer's disease is actually quite small, and it's still not 100% guaranteed that if you have the APOE that you will have the disease. And so one of the biggest problems that we've had is trying to figure out what is potentially triggering the rest of the Alzheimer's cases, the rest of the dementia cases, which account for nearly 96 to 97%, which is what we call the sporadic dementia cases. And we still don't know what the triggers are. And what our labs have been doing is just trying to figure out if there's potential lifestyle triggers that are really the major influencers of these majority of the cases of dementia.
And one of the things I think you point out is that sleep disturbances or circadian rhythm disturbances somehow cause inflammation by a dysfunction of the immune cells of the brain. Is that right?
Right. And so Dr. Ernest, he had already shown in his research that circadian dysregulation causes changes in inflammation. But what we didn't know was, could changes in circadian actually cause cognitive impairment? One of the things that we have known in the field of aging and dementia is that as you age, your sleep changes. And the direction of this has always been dementia causes sleep, potentially circadian changes. It is a little harder for us to talk about circadian in the clinic because individuals and patients don't usually show up to the doctor and say, hey, I feel like I have circadian dysregulation going on. It's usually sleep. But circadian really is part of everything. But what we found based on this previous research that Dr. Ernest, and he should probably talk more about this, was that if we caused circadian dysregulation on a young animal, so we use animal models, we can actually cause cognitive impairment, changes in inflammation in the whole body, so your adaptive immune system changes permanently. And it also changes your brain by changing the activation of microglia so that they are in this stress prime state.
We've always thought that stress, which obviously is the major ager, is what's causing the circadian dysregulation, in addition to obviously time changes. How great a influence is stress in causing circadian dysregulation versus food choices versus, for example, going across 3 or 5 time zones?
I think I can address that question. First and foremost, I would emphasize that it's not stress that causes the circadian dysregulation, but rather circadian dysregulation is a stressor in itself that's causing some of the problems with regard to changes that we're seeing in terms of inflammation, activation of microglia in the brain. I think in that regard, one of the things that I want to take a step back was that prior to some of our research, the thought had always been, as Dr. Sosa mentioned, that dementia affected sleep. But yet what we found in some of our early studies was that many of the changes in sleep regulation in terms of sleep onset, fragmentation of the sleep, actually occurred prior to the cognitive changes in our animal models. And that's the way it's also observed in clinic, although most people don't report these sleep changes prior to their diagnosis of dementia. And so what we are now thinking is, again, that the circadian dysregulation that some of us experience in our lifestyles, particularly in shift workers, public service workers who are working, you know, either the night shift or rotating shifts, and really having really irregular sleep-wake cycles, that those are having long-term effects that, you know, show up much later in life and actually in our animal model and actually in some epidemiological studies that have been done seem to accelerate the onset of dementia in patients and therefore are at least a contributing factor, unlike previous thoughts were that basically that it was the changes in the brain associated with the dementia that were causing the sleep disturbances.
One of the things you as a team have shown is that the immune system cells in the brain, the microglia, change with circadian changes. And I guess the obvious question is, how long does that change? In other words, I travel giving talks, and you probably do too, across 5 time zones. Is that disrupting me for a long time or short times in those microglial cells? And is there anything I can do to prevent it? Can you take an anti-inflammatory or something similar? And can you, by gradually doing, changing the time changes, such as with time shifter, can you ablate that change?
I'm going to take that, the initial part, and then I'll let Dr. Ernest with the time change. But that is an excellent question. And that is exactly what our research group is trying to find out in terms of when are these changes happening and how long are they maintaining for. And we were so surprised to find out. So our model is a shift work model. We produce these circadian dysregulation on animals when they are young, which is considered a young adult in an individual. And then we put them back into a normal lifestyle. So they are basically back into the regular life, light and dark cycle as of a 24-hour day. And then we age these animals until they are middle age, which would be sort of like our 40 to 45 years of age. And that's when we're finding that these animals are showing severe cognitive impairment and microglial changes and changes in the adaptive immune system, particularly on what we call these B cells. These adaptive immune system is a little bit trickier because it's not like the innate where if you get the flu or if you get a cold, you know, you can just take an anti-inflammatory and change it. This is the type of the immune system that would potentially be involved in autoimmune diseases, arthritis, and things of that nature. What we do know is that immediately after the circadian dysregulation, when these animals are young, we do know that there are changes in the adaptive immune system, but they're not permanent right away. Aging is somewhat necessary for what we see at the middle age time point. We don't know about the microglia yet. In fact, we are at this moment, we are looking at the data and trying to find out if the microglia are changed immediately. Also want to point out that our model is slightly different, well, more than just slightly different than a jet lag model. And I'll let Dr. Ernest come in on that.
So getting back to your original question, if you fly like we all do across a number of time zones, you know, is the circadian system going to be affected and are you going to have increased inflammation in the brain? And as Dr. Sosa mentioned, I think those changes do occur, but it's not clear how long they last for. Should you take an anti-inflammatory, or what can you do? And I would say that there's probably no sort of treatment, at least in terms of anti-inflammatories or drugs, that would be beneficial in that regard in terms of the sort of acute phase. But the best thing that you can do is what I always tell people to do in terms of dealing with jet lag. And that is, you know, if you're traveling across, you know, say 8 hours difference in terms of time zones, the best thing you can do is two things. One, start moving your sleep-wake cycle and your meal times to whatever time zone you're moving to or flying to. If it's an earlier time zone, is move those forward about 2 hours a day, at least maybe 3 or 4 days in advance of your trip. Now, that's difficult, right? Because, you know, most of us can't be that well prepared. The other thing, if you can't do that, certainly is to shift immediately to the new time in terms of your sleep-wake cycle. And that is, you may be going to a time zone whereby, you know, you're shifting your sleep-wake cycle so that you're now shifting in what used to be your daytime. But the faster you can make that adjustment, the better off it's going to be in terms of sort of preventing any sort of response to the circadian dysregulation in the brain. The other thing you can do is take melatonin. Melatonin is a nighttime hormone. It's over the counter, just a low normal dose of it. Take it at the time of day that would be the nighttime in the new time zone you're going to. Start that a couple days in advance. And those are the things that can help you adjust and hopefully be preventative in terms of having any sort of effect of this acute time change on your body, both in terms of inflammatory response and other systems. Our, as Dr. Sosa has mentioned, our research really points to sort of the more long-term effects of that circadian dysregulation, and that, you know, if you're working shift work and you're shifting your sleep-wake times and your meal times on a regular basis every 4 or 5 days, or, you know, if you're a professional like most of us are. Unfortunately, with the computer age and internet, most of us don't work 8 to 5 anymore and go to bed at, you know, 10 or 11 and get up at 6 or 7 in the morning. You know, our sleep-wake times change a lot, and that's bad. And when that occurs on a long-term basis over a period of a number of years, that's where we're seeing our effects in terms of dementia and inflammation in the brain. So, for example, our animal model is putting animals on what amounts to be shift work cycles from the time of young age, say the equivalent of 16 or 18 years of age, to about 21 years of age in human terms, and that's when most shift work is done in humans, and basically then going back to a regular cycle, like Dr. Sosa mentioned. And so what we're seeing is that even after they go back to a regular cycle, there's a carryover in that effect in terms of the effects on inflammation in the brain and the dementia. And then this parallels what has been reported in human epidemiological studies. And that is, if you're doing shift work during that period of age from 18 to 26 years of age for greater than 5 years at a time, then you're likely to have accelerated dementia at an earlier age.
We've been talking with David Ernest and Carrie-Anne D'Souza. More information at CarrieAnneDeSouzaLab.com on this. I have forgotten to mention our sponsors, Life's First Naturals, the makers of Rolesium, as well as Bovine Colostrum and Truebiotics. Go to their website, lifefirstnaturals.com. Nothing to do with sleep, but you'll probably sleep better if you don't have the GI distress that is associated with remediation by both Truebiotics and Rolesium. The other sponsor is ForYoungevity.com. And you can go and do the sleep program, as well as be referred to what we call the best of the time-shifting programs when you move, timeshifter.com. It's a very inexpensive program. We have no financial interest in it, but it is a great program to try. I really appreciate what these two guests from Texas A&M have talked to us about. It makes me a little worried about nursing, which obviously has the requirement of shift work associated, especially with young nurses on the wards and in the ICUs where they're so needed. I hope they are, both David and Carrie Ann, will come up with remedies for this with the shift work that is almost invariable at that ages. We'll be back next week, and we hope you are too.